with info, query, or comment. We do appreciate people who check into the net who have something to say. Either they bring information, they have a comment, or they make an inquiry. They ask a question. These are the real type of people that we'd like to have checking into the net on a regular basis. You've heard some of the top scanner monitors, especially in this area tonight. Super guys, always bringing great information. Anybody else who'd like to check into the net, please come down.
WAWW, I'm commented.
I just want to check on my clarity now. This is KP2YOS. Are you picking me up loud and clear now?
You are as solid as the rock of Gibraltar, Steve. Sounds perfect.
N1, LVH, Walter and Valley Stream, checking in late. Just listening for the moment.
Okay, Walt, we got you, Valley Stream. Steve, did you copy? We are copying you beautifully.
Yes, I copied that. This is Steve. I'm listening.
Okay, thank you. I was about to say, the transmitter is beautiful now, but the receiver's not working. Good. Both sides are working. All right, and we have Ron, who's going to give me a break. This is why people jump in. They give me a break, and I can catch my breath, take a drink of water, pick up the next piece of fan mail. Ron, God bless you. Back to you.
Yeah, thank you for your thoughts and getting my dad back together. I appreciate it. He's home, as I mentioned, and doing okay. I just wanted to comment to Frank. Frank, I heard your comments before with the CNN freaks and so forth. I had my trusty sidekick writing partner write them down. And I got all that information. So, Franklin, thank you very kindly. I do appreciate it. I believe you said R was the one who sent that. And, if memory serves me right. And if so, thank you very much to R down there in Connecticut. Back over to you at WAWWM.
Thank you very much, Ron. I took the swig of water. I reached over, picked up the pile of the letters and so forth. Again, folks, remember that the information that much of the information that you, well, there are two sources tonight. Number one, the check-ins with great information. And number two, these generous people who send us notes and letters and articles and so forth. So let's go back to our good friend Frank from CenterReach. And this is the second part of this letter, WN2REZ. He said Ron, speaking about VGF last week, had a second query regarding frequency bank management. You recall that I think Ron's question was, how do you handle all the frequencies, if you have one scanner or two scanners and so forth? And we got into that. VRA has, well, in fact, let's pick up Frank's letter because he gets into... Frank. He said, I thought that Frank into VRA, again, more fan mail, Frank, gave a lot of good info. I'd just like to add to his good advice. Frank says, if Ron has a handheld scanner and travels with it, he could program one or two banks with frequencies that interest him while he is away from his home. If Ron takes his scanner in the car, he underlines this. Everybody, listen up. Not to get into the legality of it. In other words, what Frank is doing is alerting all of us that it is against the law in New York State. We're not going to get off onto that tangent tonight. It is against the law in New York State to have a scanner in your car that can tune in police frequencies. But here is the thought that Frank has, bearing in mind not to get into the legality. He said if he takes a scanner in the car, program the highway patrol, state trooper frequencies of his route, as well as the traffic helicopters. If he goes to sporting events, he could program one bank with a stadium and the wireless mic frequencies, as well as the blimp frequencies. Okay, good thought. And Frank then, Senator, says, if you get enough copies of the color-coded spec chart, please send me a copy with the next newsletter, and we will do it.
Now, I'm drawing a blank on his final paragraph, and I realize that those two heart attacks I did had last year didn't do everything for my memory. But here is Frank's last paragraph. Somebody can bail me out, hopefully. He said, I heard you... Now I got it. He said, I heard you mention the Scanner Club. How do I subscribe? Okay, the Scanner Club. It's a magazine that sort of took over Northeast Scanning News. All right, Frank, I'm putting that to the side for the next time somebody out there is talking. I'll grab a copy and... Hold on a second. We did move closer to the to our position. All right, the Scanner Club is a newsletter. Not like our newsletter. It's a booklet. If you know what the old Northeast Scanning News, let me drop it. The old NESN looks like. This is like a, this is son of NESN. And it's called the Scanner Club. It's a magazine. This most recent issue, the August, September, published 6 times a year. In other words, every 2 months. And this one runs 58 pages. And if you'd like to subscribe, Frank, or anybody, the membership to the Scanner Club is $24.95 for 6 issues of the Scanner Club. We did a little product review on this several months ago. My major problem with the Scanner Club is that it's very little New York frequencies. And that's why 5 or 6 years ago we invented monitoring Long Island Sounds, because there was a need for a newsletter that existed solely for the New York metropolitan area. But if anybody would like to, if you'd like a sample copy, they'll give you a sample copy for $4 before you send away $24.95. And the address of the Scanner Club, Frank, if you're listening, Post Office Box 62. Post Office Box 62. And it's in Gibbstown. That's one word, I'll spell it. G-I-B, as in boy, B-S-T-O-W-N, New Jersey, 08027. And $24.95 for 6 issues, or $4 for a sample. I have no connection with the Scanner Club. But if you'd like to get a sample, whatever, and so forth, bear in mind, too, monitoring Long Island Sound. Freebie, except you gotta participate. All right, let me drop it. See if anybody has any comments, sudden thoughts, burning questions, whatever. WN2RED.
2WWM.
Hey, what frequency on scanning, logging? SGCM.
Let's pick up Curtis, and then we'll mark Hank with a check mark in the info column so that you have a scanner. Okay, let's go to Curtis, and we'll work our way around and back to Hank. N2WWM, Curtis, all yours.
Is that Les's publication?
Yes, it is. Okay, who is Les, you ask out there? That's Les Matson, M-A-T-T-S-O-N. And for about 2 years, I had the pleasure of being, quote, an editor, end quote. A wonderful title for unpaid people. I was New York City, Long Island editor for Northeast Scanning News, and it was fun. And it's funny because I got a lot of information from the people who read Northeast Scanning News, and that kind of worked its way into the newsletter. And we got information in our newsletter, and that kind of worked its way into Northeast Scanning News. It was a very profitable two-way switch, and it worked out very well. You asked, Ed, did you get paid for that? And the answer is no. Hardly anybody gets paid anymore in writing articles or anything for the scanner business. We won't get into that except at an eyeball. But some of the scanner magazines, what's being done, it's kind of shameful. We won't mention anybody. So back to you, Curtis. Yes, that's Les Matson's son of Northeast Scanning News.
Very good.
I got a chance to sit with him at the dinner 2 years ago when he had the thing up in Pennsylvania. Very nice fella. And he did that old, he did the thing on the railroads. He was big on the railroad frequencies. A lot of history behind him. And he was probably the first ghouls on the scanner Bibles and literature and publications. He's probably the one that started this all. Well, back to Matt and to WWM.
Thanks, Curtis, for that. I took another slug of water here. That was good. All right, last call. As we stand at 9:32 p.m., last call for any check-ins that would like to give us info, query, or comment. In addition to your call letters, please give us your first name and let us know if you have info, query, or comment. Anybody would like to check in, please come out. We got the second part, am I making it? You were making it with am I making it, but if you could give us the first part, the call letters again, and we will try to piece it out, okay? I'm sorry. A gut feeling tells me that it might be Jerry, KE2N in the Mobile, but I can't. If it's you, Jerry, I picked up nothing except that first am I making it, but we certainly thank you for the effort. All right, Hank is on board, or at what's that baseball expression? On deck. Sure, how long I watched the baseball game. Let's get into one or two more pieces, and again, why do we do this? First of all, it's great information, and secondly, because the vast listening audience are equal partners. We love them. All right, Larry from Westbury. I nudged him a little bit, and he sent me a great letter. And this is a little bit of a teaser, and if you don't like it, sorry about that. He said, about a month ago, I was sitting in my car near LaGuardia Airport, listening to arrival and departure and tower frequencies. Larry, by the way, is from Westbury. The arrival frequency, he says, is 120.8. The departure is 120.4. And the tower is 118.7. He was doing that, he says, when I decided to scan some Rikers Island correctional frequencies someone gave me. Out of four freaks, two were active. One frequency, which we'll give you, was 460.0375, which seemed to be a front gate type frequency, where nothing too exciting was being discussed on that particular day. On that particular day, period. On the other hand, the second channel, the week, was hopping with lots of interesting chatter. And what we're doing is we're going to stop here because this might be sort of a sensitive frequency. So what we'll do is bring this to the eyeball. If anybody wants to see where this thing went, it's a very interesting frequency. Especially if you're in Queens County, or in New York County, or in Bronx County, or in Brooklyn County, something like that. So I will take this, taking the note as I speak, take this to the eye wall. Okay. One last thing, Hank, and then we're going to put you right up. We mentioned our good friend, or Frank did, VRA mentioned that he had just received a phone call from Bob in 1MLZ. And he said Bob's doing well, and we're all very happy about that. And Bob's the type of guy who always lands on his feet. He's the guy with the movie star looks, as I like to say. And about 2 weeks ago, Bob sent us a very nice letter about the McGuire air show, and that's September 21st and 22nd. And let me loop back to Larry. This is why this whole thing is in a sequence. Larry from Westbury finished off his letter. Aldous has a message to Aldous Landers. He said, I'd like to see a good action-packed military air show, but I never see anything advertised. I'm willing to travel somewhat to see it, but no more than a 3 or 4 hour car ride. Something closer would be perfect. Can anybody help? I live in Central Nassau County. That's Westbury. All right, Larry, I believe you're listening tonight. I sort of get that feeling. All right, Bob, a couple weeks ago, sent us information about the McGuire Air Show. And September 21st and 22nd, that's a Saturday and a Sunday. And Bob and 1MLZ will be there. And we asked for the driving instructions, and somebody said take the New Jersey Turnpike and get off at the Wrightstown, right with a W, Wrightstown exit. And Bob also sent along the McGuire Air Force Base air show frequencies. And he's got about, 40 frequencies here. And the ones that are very active, he has underlined. I'm bringing these to our eyeball meeting. I'm making copies and we'll give these out to anybody who wants them 2 weeks from at our next eyeball. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So I'm bringing those. But Larry from Westbury, if you want to go out to McGuire Air Force Base, September 21, 22, Wrightstown exit on the New Jersey Turnpike, this might be some help to you. Let me drop it, WN2RED. All right, and Bob, again, sent something to me, which I will be giving out as a handout at the next eyeball. Little note from Bob attached to it says, thanks for the great newsletter. Here's my latest Otis Air Force Base list in case anyone is going to the Cape. I'm running out of steam on my voice. Now you see why we work it in, dear friends. Let me drop it and ask if I see Otis Air Force Base to Cape. Is Otis Air Force Base... say that 5 times fast. Otis Air Force Base near Cape Canaveral. Anybody?
Negative. It's near Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Go ahead.
This is KB2UVB. It's near Cape Cod.
That's 2 votes for Cape Cod. Thank you, Hank. Thank you, Charlie. Okay, in the meantime, I took another slug of water. Excuse me. All right. So if anybody would like for the next air show that may be at Otis near Cape Cod, Bob filled up 7 banks, 140 frequencies of his scanner with the Otis Air Force Base air show frequencies, and this will be given out at the next eyeball. Please don't write and ask for it. This is an eyeball handout, so we'll have those on hand. So again, a lot of thanks to Bob and 1MLZ from Milford, Connecticut, for staying in touch and giving us such great stuff and putting so much effort into it. Bob, thank you. All right, Hank, I'm going to turn it over to you, and you're going to have to excuse me for about 45 seconds while I go upstairs and fill up my glass of water, but I know it's in good hands and you don't need any hand-holding. So, into GCN with scanner info. Stretch it for at least a minute, Hank, at least. Back to you.
Okay, no problem at all. We'll send you the bill for the extra time, or overtime. Anyway, WN2RED into GCN returning. And I just got over this logging a short time ago. It's not exactly amusing. I guess if you're an ancient lover, you find it's kind of gross. Anyway, I'm 477.2625. Against 477.2625 at 9:20 p.m. Nassau Police, Highway Patrol, and also Special Services. A car calling in that a seagull was tied to a light pole at Malibu Beach Club in Lido Beach. And right now they're currently waiting for a local to come to save the bird, I assume. They're waiting for a local long enough, but they'll be able to cook the bird. But I wonder what kind of sicko would take a bird, a seagull, and tie it up to a light bulb. That's what's going on right now. Also, it was just a short time ago, also for Larry of Westbury, here to Aeronautical Listening, and also LaGuardia Airport, here's another frequency for you. The frequency is 134.900, it's 134.9. That's approach control frequency just before they go to the tower. Of course, it's 134.900, and then they go up to 118.7. So be aware of that frequency. It's a good one. Very always, of course, always active, so listen to that one. And go if you do so, then you switch over to 118.7 and listen for your clearance to land. So there you go, 134.900 and 118.7. I hope you're ready to read. Back to you, WN2. But before I do that, I also have AM loggings too. So AM loggings, I also have shortwave as well. WN2, RET, N2GCN, back to you, okay?
Thank you. All right. Ran upstairs and got the water, and right back here. All right. Let's see if there are any other stations. Oh, I think we gave it the last call. We will call again. All right. So far as I can tell, everybody who checked in with scanner information has been taken care of, and it appears that we have taken care of all the scanner mail that has come in. That's great. All right. Let's see if there's anybody out there with product info. These are the people who obviously have already checked in, I'm sure. Anybody with product info?
KB2ZNC, we're just checking his address.
Okay, no product info and KB2ZNC or something like that. Okay, thank you for checking in. Let's go to the mailbag. Well, some of the stuff came in the mail. And let's go back to, guess who? Dave from Westbury.
Be all right.
Frank hates to see an old man die on the vine. Over to you, Francis.
I'm looking, waiting for the beep over here. Okay. I just wanted to make one comment on a product review that I had put out last week. Well, it really wasn't a product review, but it was a suggestion. And that was the case for the HTX 202 and the 404, which is available through Radio Shack Unlimited. I received the case, and I have mixed emotions about it. Yeah, it fits the radio and everything. It's got a clear vinyl window in the front, but the window does not cover the entire keyboard, number one. And number two, the top is pretty much open. It's kind of like a potato sack. Bits and ends. I don't recommend it, to tell you the truth. I have it. I'll use it, but I regress on the optimism I had on it last week. So I'm going to give that one a boo on that HTX 202 and 404 case. And I just, as far as product review is concerned, that's thumbs down on that one. Back to that.
WWM.
Thank you, Frank. And let's go over to Curtis and to WWN.
WWN.
Well, you know, yeah, even with the Radio Shack Unlimited, you still got that return policy. The return policy is the same. I did order the wrong, I forget it was. Oh, yeah, I ordered a couple additional power plugs for a couple extra radios that are non-Radio Shack equipment from Radio Shack Unlimited. That you can't buy in the store. And it's a funny thing, they sell the 212 and whatever the new one is, the updated one from the 212.
12 mobile, 2 meter mobile. And the funny thing is that they don't stock extra power cords on the shelf for those particular items. And I inadvertently ordered the pigtails because I had to use them for something, and then I reordered for some more additional wires for the longer cables, and I ordered the wrong ones, and I inadvertently had to return them. And they really don't give you a probable, Frank. You can go to any of the 2 million stores they have, and they'll beat Gail Edley exchange it for something else, or return your proceeds. Back to net into WWM, and I have nothing to do with the shack.
Thank you, Curtis. Yeah, I have mixed emotions sometimes about Radio Shack, but I think the thing that always comes across is that they are decent people, and it's a reputable firm. I think every now and then we sort of like to see maybe a little more expertise, but I must admit I went in the other day, I won't go into the specifics. I wanted to buy something, but I wanted to check something out to make sure that was what I needed. And the manager, who is a very aggressive guy, four times he's tried to sell me a cellular telephone, and he really reached for the right piece of equipment and checked something out and told me that wasn't the problem, and I believe the man. So it's a nationwide story. I guess we can't get everything from them. All right, speaking of Radio Shack, I got a flyer. Let's see. Yeah, it was through the mail, so it's sent to all of us who have charge cards with Radio Shack. And I have a couple of questions. Well, I have at least one question, but they had their Duluth battery tester, which I went and bought, and I'm glad I did. It seemed to do a very nice job. And this is one of the things that item with the two probes on it. And they say it tests batteries under load for higher accuracy, and I have heard that you're supposed to test your batteries under the load. And you can test everything, you know, like all different ranges, AAAs and 9 volts and A's and C's and blah, 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 et cetera. So $9.99, $10, and I think it's a quality thing. If you do have a lot of batteries around, or if you do use batteries and so forth, we do in our house. There are three people in the house who are constantly using, batteries for radios. My better half and my older daughter, and me with scanners, et cetera. So it's nice to be able to check a battery and to find out what the problem is right away. So, it's worth it to me. I bought it. Here's my question. They're selling a frequency counter, and it's a Radio Shack frequency counter. And it goes from, they say, 1 megahertz up to megahertz, up to 1300 megahertz. They say regularly $99.99, and they took 20% off, and it's $80. So, does anybody have any comments about the quality? The lack of quality of the Radio Shack frequency counter. All right, that sounded like at least a quadruple. We do have Frank, we do have Curtis, FLF is in there, and one other station? I guess that. Frank Curtis can give you a little break. Let me go over. I think his name is Mark into FLF. Can you help us?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the beep. How you doing? Hello to that. Yeah, a friend of mine was just talking to me about that counter. He was out in Seattle. He was just here for the weekend for a couple of days. And he said for $80, it's a damn good counter. Very, very sensitive. He said he can keep it across the room and key up certain radios, depending on the frequency. I guess any frequency. He has DC to, for the 1288 handy talkie, whatever. And he says, very good. Their price is excellent.
All right, Mark, thank you very much. Good to hear you check in, and thank you for that first-hand experience, let's say. And let's go over to Frank and to VRA.
Thank you, Ed, and to VRA. The major drawback on that frequency counter, I don't know what the sensitivity is or any of that stuff. I haven't used one or experienced using one. However, I do know there is not a hold button feature on that particular counter, which simply means as soon as you unkey, if you're using it for a piece of test equipment, it's gone. If you're in the mall or you're next to somebody, whatever, the oil company's making a delivery outside, the guy's calling it in on his radio, and you got your frequency counter, you better write it down or memorize it as soon as he keys up, because if he doesn't again, it's gone. There's no hold button. It's a major drawback on it. I don't understand why they didn't put a hold button on a frequency counter, which is simply a high-speed scanner without an audio. And that's my comment on that. Other people have also commented on that there's a lack of a hold button, which is a significant drawback if you want to use a frequency counter in a certain way.
Thank you, Frank. Of course, it's $80, which is, in most cases, a kind of manageable price. And maybe that's the trade-off for the lower price. I'll just make sure I always have paper and pen, and I can write these things down. But it's a good point. Let's go over to Curtis and to WWMN.net, WN2RED.
Very good, Frank. Says it all. And I own one of those gizmos. And it's packed away. I don't use it. Good for a bench, to work on the bench, but to carry around and try to jot down the frequencies, it gets a little bit hard because you got to walk around with a pen and a paper all the time, and you better write fast and your eye better not blink, like Frank says. What I do suggest is you know, it's not a bad price, but you could always do better buying an Opto or a what is that other one? Star out of what is it? Florida. They're both in Florida. But anyway, for a little bit more money or just about the same, you could get the one at the bottom line price, and all the Optos have a hold feature. They're just about at any ham fest. The dealers are always there. Back to net into WWM.
StarTech.
One, Frank, thank you. Back to net, Ed, to WWM.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, Mark and Frank and Curtis. I guess you pay your money and you take your choice, and generally, I guess, electronically, the more you pay, hopefully, more that you get. And the one other thing that I circled is I wasn't too impressed with the scanners in there. I think Frank into VRA has mentioned this at least once or twice on the net. A Radio Shack voice activated tape recorder, and I have something similar to it. I think it's an older model, but voice activated tape. It'll run, well, 60-minute micro cassette tapes, but it'll run. And $29.99, so $30 if you'd like to tape the net. That would be one way to do it. I do know that I have a friend who is very much interested in scanning, and sometimes that individual has to be out of the house when the net is on, and that person's spouse has graciously volunteered to, like, every half hour or every hour to turn the tape over. But if you're looking for a good tape recorder, especially voice activated, there is this job that is like $30. And as I said, I've got a few Radio Shack tape recorders, also other tape recorders. It's pretty hard to find a bad tape recorder. Most of them do a pretty this is not music studio stuff. This is just, generally speaking, to sit on a frequency that you can't sit at your scanner, but you'd like to monitor, let's say, frequency 123.456 for anything that comes on. You stick the voice-activated tape recorder in front of it, and the scanner is on 123.456, and anything that comes up that day will be tape recorded. Just a point. Let me drop it for any other comments, blah, 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 about tape recording.
CRA.
Yes, sir, Frank.
Thank you, Ed. The one you're referring to, I believe, is the CTR-101. Now, that particular voice activator recorder, that's one of them that's $29.95. I don't know if there's another one for $29.95. I don't have the circular in front of me. That particular voice activator recorder takes a full-size cassette, which is a great advantage because you don't hear Donald Duck on the micro cassette. The playback is pretty lousy on those micro cassettes. This one takes the full-size cassette, and I've been using it for 2 weeks now. I picked it up 2 weeks ago. Charlie picked up one, too, UVV. He likes it. And it's an interesting frequency, too, the 123.456, but let's leave off the 6. 123.45, the plane-to-plane frequency, which is quite active on weekends. A good frequency to put on a voice-activated recorder for laughs, because you'll never know what you're going to hear on there. The last time I reported on the net, there were pilots singing, and they were telling stories, and of course they were the old expletives, which we won't mention, unfortunately. Some people have to communicate that way with a lack of intelligence, for better words. But in any event, the voice-activated recorder is the one to use. And that's the CTR-101, Ed, and it takes a full-size cassette. WN2RED, N2VRA, back to you.
Thank you, Frank. You're right. That's the one that they are advertising, strangely enough. Oh, I'm sorry. Read it wrong. You're right. It is the CTR-101. You're right. It does take the, and they have a little paragraph next to it, which doesn't apply to it. They're also selling micro cassette tapes. Good catch. Glad you clarified it. Thank you much. All right. Let's see if there's anybody else who might have some product info. Well, our good friend R does, the legendary R, and today, you recall last week I said I had a problem with my DX440, the shortwave radio, and it was like moving off frequency. I'd never done that before, and we got some interesting thoughts and so forth, which I tried. I brought it upstairs, as Frank had suggested, about the better reception. And as I took it out of the cellar and looked at it in the kitchen where I was working, I noted that it was on, there's a setting on the radio, standby. As I reach over for it, and for AM you have a wide and a narrow, so I noticed it was on narrow and I moved it over to wide, and that seemed to help. Thought that was some help. Then along came this letter from Mr. R. Says, I don't care. He was in a feisty mood that day. I don't care about the batteries operating your Realistic DX440 shortwave radio in its audio section. That's the 6 C-cell. You're right, R. When is the last time you checked and or replaced the 2 AA penlight cells that are used to run the microprocessor? The 2 AA penlight cells that are used to run the microprocessor. This is what powers up the tuning, display, memory, clock section. Fresh batteries are needed to keep this section working well. Stand by, it gets even feistier. WN2RED. You will note, R says, a DX440 or a Sangean ATS-803 or a similar receiver with a digital display will not operate without the 2 AA cells installed. It makes no difference if you have the 6 Cs or D cells installed to run the rest of the radio. where you are operating AC, the two pin lights power the microprocessor, which controls the clock, display, tuning section, and memory. Remove the pin light cells, no function. Install them, you have a display, hence the brain of the receiver. And then he gets into blah, 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 and so forth. He says, I'm going to say that pin light cells are getting soft, talking about my radio, and this is causing your tuning problem. It'd be a good idea to clean the battery tabs with a cotton swab and then and some 70% proof. That sounds like my vodka. Or higher if you can find it. Remember, the lower the percentage, the more watered down it is. Who wants their alcohol to water down? Rubbing alcohol or WD-40 sprayed on the swab. Some oxidation does build up over time. You have the unit for years or so. Roughly 18 months is the average lifespan of the two pen light cells doing all they have to do. Many people forget about the two pen light cells and they change the C or D cells to power the rest of the receiver. On many schematics, you'll find the pen light cells completely independent circuit-wise from the main power C's or D's and the AC line. My good friend R in Bridgeport, Connecticut, I checked the batteries and it's improved a bit. I moved over from the narrow section to the broader section. There's still a problem there. I have not yet cleaned battery tabs with a cotton swab and some alcohol. I'll try to do that tomorrow and see. It's improved somewhat, but it's not exactly like it was when it popped out of the box. So I do appreciate all that, Mr. R. from Bridgeport, Connecticut. You did a super job. I understand that Charlie was doing some work for you, and there's a problem. He wants at least minimum wage, I'm told, and you've been barking on that. You say there is no minimum wage in the state of Connecticut. Look into you. All right, let me just drop it for any other comments on product info or what we just talked about.
UVV.
Uh-oh. Was it really not minimum wage, Charlie?
No, I think he fired me. I'm supposed to be looking up some call signs for him on the internet, on Buckmaster's website. That's what, when I came on earlier, I just made a quick note so that he'd hear it. I haven't gotten back with him because the Buckmaster's website, that's the one I printed you at the eyeball with your new call sign on it, if you remember, and it disappeared. It's when you go to that website now, it won't open up. It says cannot find file, http://www, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know whether... I know a lot of times on the internet, particular websites, if they don't pay their rent or whatever, they cease to exist, if you know what I mean. I do have one comment, Ed. Let me give it back to you. I do have a comment on that problem you were having with the radio. I had something similar with mine.
Thank you, Charlie. I would love to hear what your solution has been.
It's KB2 UVV. Yeah, well, what I was saying was pretty much correct about the batteries for the microprocessor, the AA batteries. So I have a DX390, and a few months ago, I had a problem. I went to turn it on, and it was nothing. No clock, nothing was inside of it. And the batteries, they change them once a year. They recommend like every 12 months to replace those batteries because they basically run, like you know, I was saying, the microprocessor and also the clock, which continuously runs whether the radio's on or it's off. So they say like once a year, you know, put fresh batteries in it. But what happened was it just stopped working. It was nothing. You couldn't get anything on it. And I tried putting new batteries in, you still couldn't get anything on it. So So I mentioned Hank's net one night. It was a while back. And one of the guys on the net recommended take the batteries out and let it sit like for 8 hours. Let it sit overnight without batteries. And put fresh batteries back in. It should be all right. And it was. The guy, I can't remember his name now, but he was right on the money. And yeah, that's on a DX390. It's probably similar on the US, too. Back over to US.
Late check-in.
Late check-in. Your call and your name, please.
Good evening, Ed, and the net is KB2. KT, Mark. This evening, coming portable from Hicksville. No traffic.
Okay, Mark. Was that you before, maybe about a half hour ago, trying to check in?
Yes, that was me. I saw you check in from Jamaica Station on Long Island Railroad. I gotta get to work, so I'll be listening. Have a good evening. KB2 ZKC.
Okay, Mark, appreciate the check in. Keep stay tuned. You might be interested in some of the eyeballs that are coming up. I know you were at the last eyeball, and the next one will be a little bit closer. So if you can, it's pretty tough monitoring on the railroad, but we shall see. Okay. Charlie, do you think that the reason that your friend advised you to take the batteries out for, let's say, 8 hours was to, was this a way to reset the radio somehow?
This is KB2UVV. Yeah, I think it might have been, Ed. It might have been the clear, the glitch that was in it, but, you know, it worked, because it worked like gangbusters. You know, the next morning, I let it sit overnight, and put brand-new batteries in it, and fired it up, and it was good as new. Because I run it up in my shack, and I don't run, it takes, I'm trying to remember, 3 or 4 also D-cells to run the radio, but I use the AC adapter, so I can't remember the last time I had D-cells in it, but you still have to have the 2 AA's for the microprocessor. Back to you.
Thank you, Charlie. I'm going to try that. Just wrote that out. It's going to take the batteries out 8 hours, and I'll do that tomorrow. Pull all the batteries out and let it sit, and we shall see where that goes. But we do thank our good friend R, because he taught me something. I just sort of take the batteries, power the radio, period. And I learned something about some batteries power it, and some batteries keep the brain going. So it's got all fresh batteries in it. I'm not using the AC power thing, because I think there's a problem in the switch. Not sure, but I'm willing to run it just on batteries. All right, let me go over to, let's go back to our good friend Dave from Westbury. I think this is the third time around tonight on Dave. And he had sent this last week, but this was a kind of long net, and we really kind of ran into a wall. Here is a thought. Let me take this plug here. Again, that's why we try to intersperse the reading throughout the net. Dave says, the following information may be known by the net, but I will note it down anyway. In regards to the Bearcat 3000XLT, there are some hidden features not listed in the owner's manual. I found most of them by just fooling around, but they were listed in monitoring times. So if you've got a Bearcat 3000XLT and you'd like to play some more games with it, here's what Dave suggests. Hold down the key of the keys when turning on the scanner. All right, the first one is hold down the light key while you turn on the scanner, and that forces the light to stay on all the time. Hold down the delay key while you're turning on the scanner, and it changes the scanning delay to 4, or it's hard to read this last one. Let's say maybe it's 4 or 5 seconds. In other words, longer. Hold down the auto key when turning on the scanner. This disables the sorting of frequencies within each bank while scanning, but it slows the scan rate. Hold down the Enter key when turning on the scanner. Disables the keypad confirmation beep. Some people don't like that. They know Bob Grove doesn't. Hold down the 2, 9, and manual, number 2, number 9, manual keys when turning on the scanner. It resets the scanner and zeros all memory channels. Hold down the 2, 9, and scan keys. This loads test frequency into channels 1 to 14 and 21 to 30. Hold down 2, 9, delay. Turns off delay for all channels. Turn down the 2, 9, and key lock keys. It displays each E-E-E-C-H, the USA in quotes, each in quotes, the USA in quotes, 0.09. And Dave just does real nice stuff. He's very broad in his approach to scanning. He confirms QSL. He sends signal reports, confirms he's the one with that very nice, fancy QSL card, which some of you may have. Pressing which keys. Don't know that there are that many people who, at least on the net, who have the 3000 XLT, but if so, that's good. All right, I think, hold on, we've got one final thing on products. This is the Daymark. I'm going to call it Daymark. Somebody told me it's Daymark. Daymark has a couple of nice, well, it's got a whole catalog. Their number is 1-800-729-9000. And they have one of these data organizers, which I have one, it's a beauty. 64K of memory, and it's $40. And if you are looking for some way to keep track of a lot of your frequencies or different information and so forth, I have found it's the one I have, which is a Radio Shack one. I've had it for years, but have only started to use it recently. That a data organizer just does wonderful things. Quickly calls things back. All right, going into the scanner section. If you want a real, skipping that one. Well, if you're looking for a real cheapy base scanner, they have a 16-channel base scanner. $60, $59.99, and it's united, so it's a Bearcat. Let's see what it's got. 16 channels, 10 bands, 29 megahertz to 512. It doesn't say air in it, so I assume it doesn't have air. One touch weather. So if you're kind of looking for a cheap combination weather radio and scanner for the house, 16 channels for $60. And earlier on we talked about the Bearcat, not the 350A, but the 700A, I believe. And, I'm sorry, this is the 350A. And they're selling it for $80. By the way, the 16-channel base scanner is factory serviced, meaning somebody bought it, didn't like it, sent it back, they redid it, and so it's used, but it's factory serviced. And the 350A, let me drop it. That goes for $80. So if you want more information and so forth, then the numbers that you can call. I think that's the last of the items. Maybe this has prompted somebody to say, oh yeah, I got that. And you ought to also think about getting it. Last call for any product info items. Please come back.
UVV.
UVV. Go, Charlie.
Yeah, it's just an addendum to what Dave was saying, Ed.
I got a 890 XLT here, and I tried, as you were talking, I held the 2, the 9, and the scan down, and sure enough, the test frequencies all came up. So I thought that was interesting. And actually, this radio is the clone of the 890 XLT. It's the Radio Shack Pro 2036, but it's the exact clone to the Bearcat 890 XLT. Back over you.
Okay, Sally, I just made a note as you were speaking to copy Dave's 3000 XLT tips. And maybe I'll bring that to the eyeball, too, in case somebody wants to look them over. All right, Dave, you really paid your dues tonight. First of all, with that chart of the frequencies, which is a beauty. Secondly, with the membership card. I think when I show it, at the eyeball meeting, I think everybody would just love to have one of these cards in their pocket. So we will talk more about that, I'm sure. But it's the first time in, what, 5-6 years anybody has ever talked about a membership card, and I think when they see this, that they'll get a little bit enthusiastic. All right, the next item then with the eyeball, and I know Curtis has some eyeball information, so N2WWM, WN2RD, go Curtis, go.
Okay, 2WWM. Okay, first things first, this is really late information, this starts tomorrow. The Great South Bay is having one of those freebies, like Limewalk had a few months ago. A class to get your license, and the Great South Bay at Babylon Town Hall is going to start their classes tomorrow night. That's tomorrow night, September 11th, at 7:30. The classes run about 2 hours, and they're going to run approximately 14 to 16 weeks. And they're gonna probably be using the publication Now You're Talking. That's the larger book from the ARRL. It's also available at the Radio Shack stores, but probably would have to be ordered on the unlimited. But it is readily available through the league as well. That's tomorrow night, Great South Bay, and Great South Bay is in Babylon, off on Sunrise Highway. So you may want to, you know, get yourself involved in that. Two other clubs are going to start their classes soon, up in the Huntington area. So I'll have further information on that at a later date. Let me drop it.
Curtis, is there a phone number on that Gizbark class?
On the Great South Bank? No, I don't have a phone number. I'm sorry to say. I don't know if anybody else on the net here would know of anybody that would be able to get in contact with anybody from that particular organization. But that starts 7:30 tomorrow night at Babylon Town Hall. And that's a freebie. Let me drop it and see if anybody has anything further on that at N2WWM.
Is trying to break in, but I think they're having equipment problems. That station, want to try one more time, please? Hearing nothing, Curtis. Back to you.
Okay. All right. Second on the agenda, please, no phone calls after 9. This is the biggest one of them all, a Limewalk, Monday night, the 16th. It's going to be Gordon West is coming down to the meeting. The meeting site is at Division Avenue in Levittown. Division Avenue is just east of the Wantagh Parkway, intersecting Hempstead Turnpike. If you're taking Hempstead Turnpike, it's just by the old, what is that, Tri-County flea market there on Hempstead Turnpike. That's where Division Avenue is. You go Division Avenue north, one block, and you'll see Levittown High School on Division Avenue on the 16th. So it starts at 8 o'clock prompt. Get down there early to hold yourself a seat. Otherwise, bring your own chairs. I don't know what kind of seating they have there. This is a substitute meeting site for September, and that meeting is open to anybody. Back to net in 2WWM. Ed?
Curtis, what's that starting time again, please?
8 o'clock, but I would get down there a little bit earlier to grab yourself a seat.
Thank you, Curtis. Is that your, are those, you know, is that your report on the eyeballs?
Yeah, a couple ham fests, if you want me to mention it. We got coming up September 29th in Yonkers. It's at the Lincoln School. October 6th. Limewalk at Briarcliff College in Woodbury. The 13th at the Science Hall in Queens, Hall of Science. And Sunday, October 20th, Hudson Division at Melville on Long Island at the Hilton. It's a big one also. Mark those down on the calendar. Back to net, 2WWM.
Thank you very much, Curtis. Both of those, real good. Let's take the Great South Bay. I call it GSBARC. I think they do, too, GSBARC. But the Great South Bay license class starting at Babylon Town Hall tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. Going to run about 2 hours, and it'll be 14 to 16 weeks. And we have a lot of people out in Suffolk County, a lot of people who are members of Monitoring Long Island Sound. And I'm not going to start throwing names out, but Babylon is pretty, it's a big town, and it's, I guess it's fairly easy to get to, especially the town hall. But I know one of the things that keeps showing in letters and comments that we get, especially we had that one tonight from Dave, about he wants to get his ham radio license so he can get on the air and talk to us. And a lot of you who have checked in tonight got your early interest in amateur radio through scanning and then hopefully through the ScannerNet. So our good friends out in Suffolk County, just a wonderful way to get your amateur radio license, and then you'll be certified crazy like the rest of us. The second one that Curtis brought up, Gordon West, that's the generosity of Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club. Monday, September 16th, starting at 8 o'clock. I'm going to try to get there about 7:30. Curtis has said it's open to all. I heard that from Lou, W2BIE, last week. A freebie. And as Curtis said, it's in Levittown. I'm going to be taking the Wantagh Parkway north. I'm going to get off at Hempstead Turnpike. I'm going to be driving east on about a half a mile east. I will see Division Avenue, which basically starts at Hempstead Turnpike. I'm going to go north on Division. And as Curtis said, it's about a block or so up, and you're looking for a junior high school in Levittown on Division Avenue. So look for the intersection of Hempstead Turnpike and Division Avenue. Curtis, great job. Thank you. Really appreciate it. And please keep us informed on the other license classes. They could be a real godsend to other members of the net. Let me drop it. WN2RED.
N1LVH, query on Broad West.
Okay, N1LVH, all right, I think your name was Walt, you said. Walt, why don't you ask your query, and then we'll ask Curtis to handle it for you. N1LVH, Walt, take it away.
Thank you, Ed. I had called the Limac telephone information, and they didn't mention the Garden West at all. I wonder if you know why that was. I assumed that maybe it was so well attended they were no longer advertising it.
WWM.
Curtis, yes, go.
Well, if you remember, if you listen to 146-850, what happened is the whole month of August, I think the end of July and the beginning of August, they were running a promo. It would come up every so often on the repeater. What happened is that they had to take that promo off to put the new information on, that the meeting place has been changed for club members. So in the event of changing that information, they had to delete the Gordon promo. So that's what you might have heard. Even though you called the info line, as they call it. That's the name of WWM, and that's what I think happened.
Thank you, Curtis. Walt is right. After the net last week, I called probably Wednesday or so, and I called the number that was at 520-9311 number, and you get into this menu if you want information on meetings, punch two, let's say. And I tried two, and there was no mention whatsoever of the Gordon West meeting. And I dialed it again, and there's something about future events or coming events and so forth. I tried that, and there was nothing about Gordon West. So I did listen in the other night to the Weimark InfoNet, as it's called, 146.85, Monday at 8:30. And there were more details given about where it was, etc. But I like to just to verify the fact that it is open to all, and I believe that's been verified. So Walt, you had the same experience that I had, but I think we can, after last night and after tonight with Curtis and all, I think we can look forward to seeing a large group. If there's anybody the least bit interested in meeting me, why, I would have no idea. I'll be wearing my MLIS cap. It's like a baseball cap, but it's got MLIS across the front of it. I am 6'3", homely as sin, and I weigh about 200 pounds, and I'll probably be sitting on the end of an aisle. I don't like to sit in the middle. I like to be able to get up and get in and get out. So I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of each other. But if you see some tall geeks wearing a cap with MLIS, that's old head. So Walt, I think we've covered your question. Do you have any follow-up on it, Walt? Back to you. I think we've overwhelmed them. And the last eyeball that we have is a week from this Thursday, on September 19th at 8:30 p.m. at Nathan's Restaurant in Oceanside. That's on, somebody will bail me out on that one. Long Beach Road, on Long Beach Road. And that's where we sit around and we occupy Nathan's. Eat what you want, eat what you, or don't eat what you don't want, whatever. And as you know, or as you should know, or as you will know, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to exchange a lot of information that we don't exchange on the air. And you'll find that many of our members are very generous and bring copies of different things. And I'll be bringing different copies of frequencies, which have been sent to me. We'll also show you the sample MLIS membership card, and we'll see if you enjoy, share the enthusiasm that I have, too. Let's see. We're still talking about, in October, should we have our eyeball meeting in someplace in Suffolk? We have a lot of people in Suffolk County. And should we hold it there? Where? Is there a Nathan's? I think Frank VRA had mentioned something about it. Comac Jericho Turnpike. But if anybody knows, kind of centrally located, not central to all of Suffolk County, but if there is some place in Suffolk County so that we could get more people coming in from Suffolk, while at the same time not causing great travel for others who, let's say, live in Nassau or in the eastern part of Queens. Let me just drop it for any possible comments on that.
To WWM.
Yes, sir. Curtis, go.
There's a Nathan's just north of the southern state on Route 110 in Farmingdale. I don't know what the seating is over there, but there is a Nathan's out there and on 110, just in the middle there. So maybe something in that area. Back to net.
And thank you, Curtis. North of the southern state, Route 110, that would be exit 32. All right, appreciate that. Maybe we can look that over. Was there somebody else also trying to get in with a comment?
VRA.
UVV.
Yeah, I thought that was a double. Okay, let's take Charlie first, and then we'll pick up Frank. So KB2UVV, WN2RED. Charlie, all yours.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Yeah, I'm familiar with that one on Route 110, and I won't go into details here, but all things considered, I think that'd be a good one to stay away from. Just not too good over that way at night. The one at Comac might be a better choice, although it's, you know, further, it's a further trip for me, but I think it would be a better choice. Back over to you.
Thank you, Charlie. We appreciate that. Straight from the heart report. Over to Frank.
Thank you, Ed. Yeah, I kind of agree with Charlie a little bit. The that place is kind of affiliated with a amusement center that's over there. The seating area and capacity is probably one half of what we're used to seeing as far as convenience and, you know, just setting up over there. I think we would take out a third of their restaurant, which I don't think they'll be happy about. The other thing is being parking, being all the way in the back in kind of a semi-secluded area invites the problem of theft. Or whatever. I don't feel comfortable parking my car back there. The one in Comac on Jericho Turnpike is, well, there's a lot of activity there like the other ones, and it's, I don't know the exact size. I haven't been inside of it. I can't comment on that. but I think the one on 110 and wouldn't work out too well. Ed, back to you.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Charlie. I guess we'll take that off the list. I respect the judgment of both of you. All right. Anybody in Suffolk, let's make that a homework assignment. If you'd like to have the meeting once every 3 months in Suffolk County, if you could scout around. And I guess the reason why we talk about NAFIS is that they tend to be a pretty large place. The management tends to be kind of laid back about a group like ours coming in and kind of taking over a certain amount of the space, even though we do buy food and drink, et cetera. NAFIS does have a pretty good attitude towards our group, and we would like to keep it like that. So it's a homework assignment, nothing, you know, nothing vital, but we would like to be fair to the people in Suffolk. So if somebody out there, we had mentioned one already, Comac, Jericho Turnpike, and maybe somebody else can find something out there. We'll leave it up to our good friends in Comac. All right, I think that's the end of eyeballs. Is there anybody else with eyeball information? No opticians left in the group. All right, the next one is AMDX, and I do have Hank here. So why don't we go to into GCN. Hank, just do the AM, because I have got a fair amount of AMDX myself, so you do the AM, send it back to me, I'll do that, and we'll switch back to you for the shortwave. Into GCN and net WN2RED.
Okay, no problem. WN2RED into GCN. Before I do that, I have a correction to make on a name. I called Dave Larry, and I apologize, Dave, for that. I don't know how he did that, but I did. That's out of the way. Anyway, anyway. I have one FM logging, actually. I was listening last week to the net, of course, and I heard about Don doing a fill-in job over in WLNG, and here's what I found. FM, WLNG, for your static offer in New York. I've heard this station before. I figured try again. Of course, I picked it up. The frequency is supposed to be 92.1, 92.100, excuse me, 92.100 at 12:30 a.m., although the best reception I got was when I put on 92.05. That was 92.05. The reason is my 92.1, they were getting blown out by K-Rock on 92.3, so I dropped it to 92.05 and heard fairly well. Although there was some fading at times, sometimes it got interfered by K-Rock, but then it would come back up and strengthen. You know, K-Rock's interference died down, and I was able to listen to it. Of course, Don's name was Don Lewis. We all know him as DKR. And he was playing oldies music. Matter of fact, what was interesting to me was on the jingle. The jingle is basically the same jingle as WCBS-FM and also WABC music, too. I can't explain it to you here or identify it, but I guess the only thing they do is they just change the call sign. That's it. It's just a standard ID, I suppose, but it's kind of interesting to hear that. Also, on the songs, one song I never heard ever done with this particular group called Barber Ann by Jen and Dean. I've always heard it. Let me turn on my scanner. I've always heard the song by way of the Regents. And also, the Beach Boys. I never heard Jen and Dean do Barber Ann. And he also played Hawaii 5-0, and of course goes without saying, always a standard of Bookham Deno, you know, so that's what I heard, and pretty interesting, I would say. I haven't listened to it for a few days, but it's here and there, but came in pretty well here. I'm not sure how far it is from Sac Harbor is to Plainview, but I would say it's pretty good haul between here and here on FM. I would assume it's a lot further east than New York is from here to New York City, I suppose. I wonder if anybody knows this is of LNC. All right, anyway, that was on September 4th. Let me drop it. Okay, now AM logging, so I only have three of them, so then I'll turn right back to either end. And basically, they're all basically, I guess, reviews. I haven't found anything brand new yet. Anyway, this is GCN. Here is Canadian AM, Canadian AM medium wave station called CBF. Charlie Bravo, Fox, okay, yeah, CBF, via Montreal, Quebec, Canada, via Montreal, Quebec, 50,000 watt station. Oh, God. We dropped a turn. Okay, it's a 50,000 watt station in French. The station is basically called, or the network is called SRC. SRC, or Socialite Radio, Canada. The frequency is 690 kHz, and I picked up at 8:38 p.m. tonight. Reception was good. Music, it was a music station, although they had some talk too. They were playing a folk song in French, which was interesting. Last time I reported on this net was on April 23rd, heard again a little while ago on September 10th. Let me drop it. My next logging is the USAM station, once again, the USAM medium wave. The station call is WPBM, WPBM via Chicago, Illinois. 50,000 watt station on a frequency of 780 kHz at 8:44 p.m. Reception was good. They call themselves All News 78, like All News Radio 8, All News, News Radio 88. They call themselves All News or News Radio 78. And of course, All News, traffic reports, same thing as News Radio 88, identical to this in Chicago. You hear about the traffic situation out there, to all air and things of that nature. It's okay, you know, pretty good. Last report this on June the 27th, 95, and heard again on September 10th, and the last one for the week is USAM Medium Wave. The station call is WHO, or just, ooh, via Des Moines, Iowa. Again, it's WHO via Des Moines, Iowa. 50,000 watt station. This was just fading in. As you know tonight, I guess, they're about an hour behind us, and the time I picked this up was, you know, still getting, it was just getting dark out there. It was very dark here, so when I put it on, it was just fading in, very weak, but it was just fading in at that point. The frequency is 1040 kHz, and the time was at 8:51. 8:51 here is like 7:51 out there, and I assume it was just getting dark out there, and the reception was coming in from Des Moines. It was weak. Talk show, the first one I logged in was on February 14th of 1984, and I heard again on September 10th. And that's just for the time being there, right? I have some questions away, too. Back to you, WN2RED, N2GCN, back to you.
Thank you very much, Hank. We'll get back to you relatively soon. I don't know if I screwed up on something. I know we picked up both Frank and Charlie before, and we picked up, I went to Charlie. N2VRA, Frank, did I skip over you? I've got you written down here in a special way that I pick up the people who come back in. Did I miss you after I went to Charlie?
Negative, Ed. You're doing absolutely fine, and you didn't pass me over this time. Thank you.
Wait till next time. All right. I've got some AM. I shouldn't say I've got it. People have been very nice and giving me it. When I went out to the REAC coffee break that Sunday, a couple of Sundays ago, I had the pleasure, underline the word pleasure, of meeting again Franz from Brentwood. And Franz has been a longtime member of the group, and he had not been on the newsletter mailing list, and I was cajoling him about sending me stamp address envelopes. And he's a very modest individual. He didn't think that he had given me enough information. So here is information. And as soon as I got the information, I said to Frank, to Franz, you have satisfied the requirement. So AMDX, 1520. I don't have time on something like this because he was doing this off the top of his head. But AM 1520, country music from Buffalo, 1500 kilohertz, Washington, D.C., 1180 AM, Rochester, and there's a station, from what he describes, as 900 alive, and it's coming from someplace in Canada. So, Franz, we thank you for the info, and we have publicized it. Now, James at Elmont is a very good writer in terms of he gets the information out. He's very conscientious about things. So I've been not sitting on information, but the nets have been running so late. So tonight we will definitely get James's material out. Get the tape recorders going because I do want to cover everything. Here are AMDX stations I found. Found the call sign for 1400 kilohertz AM, which is WSTC, Whiskey Sierra Tango Charlie, and it's in Stamford, Connecticut, and it's Fairfield County, Connecticut news radio station also. And the 1350 kilohertz AM is WNLK, Whiskey Nora Lima Kilo, and it's from Norwalk, Connecticut, and it's also Fairfield County News Radio. Same station, just two different transmitter sites for the station. Remember, okay, click the letter, blah, blah, blah. All right, that was 20, then there's some, another one, on 750 kilohertz. AM heard WSP, Whiskey Sierra Bravo, Atlanta, and they carry the Atlanta Braves, who right now, well, this was sometime in August, and right now are the best team in baseball. They were playing the Cincinnati Reds. Okay, they were fading in and out. 900 kilohertz heard CHML, Charlie Hotel Mike Lima, Hamilton, Canada. They carry the Toronto Blue Jays games. They were playing Kansas City, coming in great. 1210 AM heard WGMB, Whiskey Gulf Mike Bravo, Philadelphia. They carry the Philadelphia Phillies. They were facing the Dodgers, Los Angeles. Heard at 11:30 PM, coming in great. 1080 kilohertz heard WTIC, Whiskey Tango India Charlie, Hartford, Connecticut. They were doing their weather report. They went to their local news. Coming in great. 1500 kilohertz. Again, this is WTOP, which I felt like that was from. Heard WTOP Washington, D.C. news station. This time they were doing their local traffic report. Coming in good. All right, we turn it over. 1350 kilohertz. Heard WNLK, I think we just went over that, Fairfield, Connecticut, heard them doing the tropic weather, okay, 1030 kilohertz, heard WBZ, Whiskey, Bravo, Zulu, Boston, they were talking about Bill Clinton and his wife Hillary, on Bill Clinton's proposal to regulate tobacco sales, blah, 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 okay, 1500 kilohertz, again, heard WTOP, coming in great. So, tell you what, let's see, we just have one more, I think, from James, and then we'll save his August 29th letter for next week, and then we'll get to the short wave. This is the 24th letter, found the call sign for 1400 kilohertz AM, okay, we went over that before, so that's covered. Those are the two stations. All right, so James, we thank you very much for your ongoing reports. Much appreciated. All right, anybody else who might have any AMDX before we move on to shortwave? WN2RED.
QWWN.
Go, Curtis.
I think I missed this one 2 weeks ago. I had a problem. WSAI, Cincinnati, Ohio, in Cincinnati, Ohio, I caught that on 1530 on the way home last month from the meeting. The show that they were running was a called Fox 13, which is a radio show from 1948, and I found it very interesting. That was on 1530 WSAI from Cincinnati, Ohio, and it was a very good radio show, and I tried it again a couple other times during the week at the nighttime hours, basically in the wee hours of the morning and early morning hours, and it seemed to come up on the Super 3 radio. Sounded pretty good. Back to you, N2WWM.
Thank you, Curtis. Appreciate that. All right, let's go into the final phase of the net and that shortwave, and we go over to Hank and to GCN. Take it away.
Thank you. WN2RED and 2GC returning. First off, before I mention my logging, just let you know, quite frankly, we're definitely into the, we're into the fall and winter conditions or propagation conditions. And these loggings I have are quite evident of where we are, how poor it is right now, how low we are in the cycle. I do assume sometime this year things are going to start to improve, but when, I don't know. But this is all I have is like five items, and we're really at the bottom of the barrel at this point. I think the worst thing we can do now is go up, but right now it's quite evident that this is going to be probably the worst year, I guess, as far as the cycle is concerned, 22, and eventually, hopefully 23 will get started and we'll start seeing a bit of conditions on here. But now here is my log is what I have. I only have five, so it tells you how bad things are right now. Anyway, this is for the week of September 4th through the 10th, 1996, and here is my logging. On 17008.2, again, it's 17008.2 in CW, and believe it or not, CW, I could not find anything on sideband. That's just how poor things are. Anyway, the time was at midnight 50 UT. It's midnight 50 or 8.50 p.m. That's what it should be. Midnight 50 or 8.50 p.m. U.S. Maritime Mobile Station called KLB. Kilo Lima Bravo, Seattle Radio in Washington State. The ID was 3CQs from DEKLB. Listed frequency is 17007.5. Last time I reported this on this net was on November 23rd of 95, and heard again on September the 10th. Let me drop it. All right, the next one is on 12660.6. I was really scratching for stuff here, I'm telling you. On 12660.6, again, 12660.6 in CW at 0149 UT or 9.9 PM. U.S. Maritime Mobile Station calls WLO, Whiskey Lima Oscar, Mobile Radio Alabama. The ID was from DEWLO. Listed frequency is 12660.0. I know it can eventually. Anyway, my first log is in. That was the last time I heard on this frequency, which was on April 15th, 1986. That was the last time I heard it until September the 10th. So even though things are poor, a frequency got to, sometimes a frequency will materialize after all these years, and that one did. Next one, on 8525.4, again it's 8525.4, in CW at 0309 UTC or 1109 PM, again U.S. Maritime Mobile, the station WNU, Whiskey November Uniform, 33, Slidell Radio Louisiana, the ID with 3CQs from DE, WNU, 33. Listed frequency is 8525.0, again it's 8525.0 for the listed. Last time I reported this frequency on this net was on August 10th, 93, and I heard again on September 10th, 96. Let me drop it. Next one, on 8427.7, again it's 8427.7 at CW, and 0442 UTC, 0442 UT or 1242 AM, U.S. Maritime Mobile Station calls KPH, Kilo Papa Hotel, San Francisco Radio in California. The coast channel is 822. Again, the coast channel is 822. Let me repeat the frequency again. I don't think I'm doing that. Anyway, 8427.7. Again, it was 8427.7. NCW at 0442 UT or 1242 AM. U.S. Maritime Mobile, again, is KPH. San Francisco Radio in California. Again, the channel is 822. The ID was KPH, Kilo Papa Hotel. Listed frequency is 8427.0. Again, listed was 8427.0. I heard on 8427.7. They run ARQ or automatic repetition request in SITOR. Simplex talk over radio. And also, believe it or not, this was a new frequency or new logging for me. New frequency, I should say, really. And that's kind of odd. I think I'm something brand new. I kept looking at my car catalog to see, is it possible it's new? I never heard on that one before, and I never did. So at least I pulled something up anyway. That's September 10th. I have one more to go. And the last one for the week is on 6482.6. Again, it's 6482.6 CW at midnight. Nine minutes hit the midnight UTC. That's 0009 or 809 PM. Far Maritime Mobile. The call is CLA. Charlie Lima Alpha, Havana Radio in Cuba. Again, it's call the frequency is 6482.6. CLA, Havana Radio in Cuba. ID with two CQs. Two CQs from DECLA. Listed frequency is 6482.0. Again, listed is 6482.0. I heard on 6482.6. I heard Fox 7 on January 3rd of 96 of this year and heard again September the 11th, just before the net, or as the net was again started. That takes care of it, and hopefully someday we'll see the cycle begin to improve. And boy, I'll come on here with a whole bunch of loggings on, put out a whole book for it, but right now it's pretty meager stuff at this point. Thank you, at WN2RED and 2GCN over you.
Thank you very much, Hank. Much appreciated. All right, let's see if there's anybody out there who has any last thing to say as we come up to 1057, another SuperNet. Anybody else who just wants to wrap something up or has something that they just wanted to say?
KB2YOS.
Okay, that's Steve. Steve, over to you.
Okay, last week I saw somebody on the Van Wyck Expressway driving right by me with a license plate. And this particular license plate had his call sign on it, a vanity plate, but the symbol, instead of the Statue of Liberty with the New York plate Statue of Liberty, it had a radio tower in the picture on the license plate instead of the Statue of Liberty. So I was wondering, how do you go about getting that? Because I got an application for the vanity plate, and it says, like, where you want to place the Statue of Liberty, in the middle of the license plate or to the left side or to the right. But I don't know where he acquired that picture of the radio tower, and I'm interested in getting mine just like that.
VRA.
Okay. VRA recognized. Steve, interesting. I assume from what you're saying, you know, because you want to get one, it was a New York State. Well, we'll turn it over to Frank, and Frank sounds like he's the guy for it. Into VRA, WN2RED. That's getting late.
All right, thank you, Ed. It's time for another glass of water. What you got to do is call the Department of Motor Vehicles in Albany, and you'll get somebody up there and tell them you want the application for emergency service plates. The amateur radio license plate is not only a vanity plate, but it falls under a emergency service plate. You'll get an application with the different plate to check off, and you'll have to just follow the instructions on there and fill it out with a C, and it tells you everything what to do. But you have to get the emergency service plate application from Albany.
Frank, do you have a phone number, or is this phone number kind of easily located in a telephone book?
I don't have the phone number in front of me. There is a number that you can call to that goes to that department. But what you can do is call the local motor vehicle office out here on the island somewhere, wherever you are, and get that number and then make the call. It's an 800 call.
Comment, WA2RQY.
Okay, stand by, WA2RQY. All right, who was that? That was Steve. YO, who wanted to know. Okay, call the local motor vehicle bureau, and they can help you, but WA2RQY sounds like another person who know something about this, so let's go over to WA2RQY. All yours, old man.
Yeah, thank you very much. Name is Rich. We've spoken before. Now, the only comment I wanted to make was I was looking into it a couple of months ago, and one of the fellows told me, you know, I just procrastinated, I never did it. But he said, oh, you can just go to any one of the local motor vehicle places and pick up the application right there. I never did it. I don't know whether that's true, but if this gentleman, YLS, is close enough on his way home from work or whatever and wants to stop, I'm sure they could provide any of the information. And if they don't have it, I'm sure they'll have the number, which is what the other fellow says. But yeah, the fellow who told me he has those plates, and he told me simply just go and pick up an application.
That's the only comment I wanted to make. W-A-2-R-Q-Y, back to net.
Be all right.
Okay, Rich, thank you for that suggestion, and let's loop it back to VRA.
Thank you, Ed. Isn't it great to have input on the net? And very good, Rich, good information as to securing the application at the local MV. I think you can get it there. It's just a question of sending it up to Albany to get the plate. The plate is mailed back to you. The plate is not, you know, you can't pick it up at the local MV. And it's probably, I waited, well, I got mine when it first came out, and it was quite a wait, close to 6 months to get it. So I don't know what the wait is nowadays, but they had to, actually, I applied for it before they had the die set up. It was brand new, and they were taking applications ahead of time. So it'd probably be much less than 6 months, probably 12 weeks or something like that. Anyway, that's my comment at this late hour. Back to you, Ed.
Frank, for the cheapskates in the group like me, could you tell us roughly how much a vanity plate like that might run?
I don't have the papers in front of me. To be honest with you, it was, I'll take a ballpark figure, but don't hold me to it. I think it was somewhere around $30. And it's cheaper than if you, because it's in a, they consider New York State Motor Vehicle, consider it an emergency service plate, they give you a discount on it. It's not the same as if you went out and had a regular vanity plate, whatever on it, New York Mets or something. That's different. There's a different fee for that. That's altogether different. So you do get a break on the plate. It's less. I know that. It's much less. And I think it's $15 more than your regular registration is every 2 years. I think that's what it is, which works out to $7.50 a year, as opposed to some of those other ones, which are like $60 and up. So there is a scale of difference. I can't give you the exact figure, Ed. I don't remember. Don't have the papers in front of me.
Yeah, he's pretty darn close.
Currently is well within my pocketbook. If there's anybody looking for a motor vehicle office, which really seems to be off the beaten track, it seems like very few people know anything about it. And it appears to, at least to me when I go there, to, you can walk right in practically and get taken care of and walk right out. And that included getting my picture taken on the for the license. And the Motor Vehicle Bureau office I'm talking about, just a little bit south of Old Country Road, if you get off the Meadowbrook Parkway at the Zeckendorf Boulevard exit, that's the one that kind of leads you, as you come out, you're looking at the phone company, and over to the right is the Price Club. If you, when you get to that light at the exit, when the light, the exit leads you out, you make a kind of like a left turn, and then if you look over to your right, you'll notice this white building, and it's a motor vehicle built. It's beautiful, very nicely done. The people are very nice people there. So if you're finding a, if you're looking to find a motor vehicle office that you can, generally speaking, get in and get out of real quickly rather than some of those places, try the one that's just a little bit east of Roosevelt Field, and at the same time just a little bit west of the Price Club. It's right in there. I think it's on Zeckendorf. Look it up in the phone book. But it's that would seem to be very much geared to walk in and pick up a form and walk right out. Robert, comments on this very interesting subject that Steve brought up.
Into WWM with info.
Here comes, you've heard of the repo man. Here comes the info man. Curtis, go.
Okay. There's a couple guys that don't check into the net anymore for whatever reason it is. But I got this information from N2OTT. If you remember, he checked in a while back to the net here. And this is the information you're looking for. Get your pad and paper ready. Let me drop it.
2WWM. These are the phone numbers to call for custom plate unit. It's the DMV custom plate unit, and you're going to have to call Albany between 9 a.m. and 4:30 at this number. It's a long distance number, but you know, this is the state of New York now. They don't have toll free numbers. 518-474-7106 or 474-7130. And that's a 518 exchange between 9 a.m. and 4:30. Let me also give you this post office address for custom plates unit for vanity amateur plates. And 2WWM, New York State, that's New York State, DMV, that's D dot M dot V dot, DMV, custom plate unit, that's custom plate unit, the P.O. box is 2775, P.O. box is 2775-ESP. Dash ESP Albany, A-L-B-A-N-Y, Albany, New York, and the zip is 12220-12220-0775. Back to Ed in the net and to WWM.
Thank you, Curtis. Curtis, all right, this is either a long-distance call or you go through the mail. But what about the comment we just heard a few minutes ago about being able to walk into a local office of the DMV and to pick up an application? Any comments on that?
They won't know what you're talking about. If you ask them for amateur radio plates, they're gonna just give you the phone number for Albany to get the proper application, because they just don't have the applications here. I went through that route, and somewhere along the line, I haven't found it yet, but a fellow up in Lockfield a while back gave me an application for one of these plates, and I don't know what I did with it. But I don't know about that left, right, the middle thing. I thought they just put it wherever they want to put it. But I would gather that's possible. You could position it anywhere in the plate. Back to net, into WWM.
DRA.
Thank you, Curtis, and over to Frank.
Thank you, Ed. Well, you can, if you're getting a special plate that's not an amateur radio plate, and you want the Liberty someplace, you get boxes on the application form that allow you several characters, and you can place the Liberty either to the extreme left or in the center with your logo, whatever you're going to put on the plate. The amateur radio plate antenna, which is on the left-hand side of the plate, is there, and your call letters go to the right. You can't change that, but only on the other Liberty plate you can position it in two places. And there's two different size characters you can put on the plate. There's the large numbers or letters combination, or there's up, I think it's 8 characters on the small the smaller letter number combination. It's your choice. You're paying for it. But again, the Liberty can only be placed on the extreme left or in the middle.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, Steve, KB2YOS, you certainly brought up an interesting topic at a late hour of the night and sort of got some juices flowing. We appreciate the question. We appreciate the answers. Steve, would you say that you have enough information that you can now proceed? Over to you.
Yes, I do. I have a lot of information. I wrote it all down. I just want to say to those that haven't seen that plate, it is a gorgeous looking plate for ham radio operators, especially with that tower. It looks really nice. It's a compliment to the entire field of ham radio. Okay, back to you.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, it's 10 after 11, so I know a lot of people have to get up early in the morning and go to work. That's about the only negative side of the net running so long. We bring up a lot of good information from a lot of good people, but unfortunately, many people have to get up. I don't. I am now permanently unemployed, so I don't worry too much about that. But we do try to be sympathetic to those who do. So let's call it a night. We want to thank everybody, as we always say, who have checked into the net, especially those who brought info, query, and comments. We want to thank the people out there in the vast listening audience who send in such great information. So, and obviously, we also want to thank Steve, WB2WAK, for the use of the repeater. Without Steve, there would be no net, and we certainly appreciate it. So, we'll see you on the radio, as they say. We'll see you next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, 146.805. And if you can make it, I would seriously suggest that you try to make the talk, the presentation, that is going to take place at Weimark. Gordon West is well-known in the life insurance community, and I'm sure that the answer will be that his message will be very well received. Probably be a question and answer session later on. It'll also give you a chance to meet with many of the members of Monitoring Long Island Sounds. As I mentioned, I'm going, and I think that there'll be a large number of people going. Relatively easy to get to. We did give out the instructions. So we'll either see you Monday or Tuesday or next Thursday at the Eyeball. Next Thursday, meaning a week from this Thursday. And thanks again. Thanks for everything. You all do a super job of making this whole thing work. So we say goodnight, 73.
Zipulin 2RED. KG2ED for a late check-in. Great net tonight.
Thank you. Just roach in.
Yes, this is Rich.
Okay, Rich, we got you.
Yes, fella, I checked in with the license plate. Are you still aboard in 2WWM?
Yes, I'm still here.
What you calling? I need to ask another favor for you. You could come in and check in when you get those applications. They also have a plate that's a fire buff plate. See if you get an application for that. I was wondering what that's all about. There's actually two, one for volunteer fire department, and there's one also for fire buffs. It's called the fire buff plate. And I was just wondering what that may look like. It's been out since before the summer, and it's to help the firefighters in the state of New York of some sort.
Okay, I got that. I'm going to stop by there tomorrow by DMV over right before you get into Nassau County on Rockaway Boulevard and see what kind of applications they have, especially if they have the emergency service plate application.